There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
How do we perceive the receivers? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. With me today is Pat Fitzmaurice, and of course, it's you. And today, we're going to look back in order to look ahead at the wide receiver and tight end positions, take you through the things that we've learned and the things that we're looking forward to. And there's nobody better to discuss wide receivers with than, of course, the man who invented reception perception himself. He's the Yahoo master. He's the one, the only, Matt Harmon. Thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. It is great to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, you know, no matter what period, anytime, any day, any hour, any, you know, point in the fantasy calendars we were talking about pre-show. But coming off this weekend of football, like, I'm extra gassed up to talk basically anything that has to do with the sport because we're just feeling those vibes from this weekend. It was awesome. It was an electric set of games. But yeah, I'm very grateful for you guys having me here today. I appreciate it.
Awesome doesn't even begin to describe it. I kind of feel so rejuvenated after the weekend, Matt, that I want the season to start again. I'm like, okay, great. There's amazing things going on. Let's go draft now. Like, I have to wait now till August and September. That doesn't feel right. I feel kind of betrayed a little bit.
I don't even know if I half agree with you, because here's the thing, man. Like, number one, if we start the season, that means all the work starts again. So not ready for that. And secondly, I'm not ready for a bunch of these like goofball teams to come in and ruin it. The reason the last set of games was so great is we got like the best set of outcomes possible. You know, the best teams were involved, the best quarterbacks were involved. I don't need the freaking Giants or whatever showing up here. And, like,
good point.
I don't need to be talking about Daniel Jones and like Saquon Barkley and these guys. Like, we're talking about good teams, good players. So I appreciate the sentiment, and there's a part of me that feels the same way, but to start all over at square one again, I don't know about that.
That's coming from a guy who, you know, just covers football. See, idiots like me who then turn the page right to baseball and are covering baseball and football all year round. Oh, yeah, see, we never stop. See, for me, it doesn't matter. I just want to be entertained because I'm, again, the Loki of fantasy. I just like chaos. But Matt, at about what? I don't know, 10 o'clock Eastern last night, where was your brain during that Chiefs-Bills game? Like, what was going on and how were you processing all of that?
Man, you know, it's funny. Shout out to me. I'm engaged. I'm getting married in a few months. My fiance and I.
Shout out to me. I love it.
my fiance and I are watching this game together. And this just goes to show you, you know, like how like Josh Allen's career has developed. Because I think the first playoff game we ever watched together was Josh Allen losing to the Texans before the 24-0. I think that was the 2018 season or no 2019 season going into, you know, the 2020 postseason. And, you know, I remember her at one point asked me, like, so what's the deal with Josh Allen? Is he bad? And I was like, that's kind of hard to, and, you know, again, this is like 2019 Josh
right,
Allen.
I remember,
you know,
it
was
well.
A very, very different player than what we've got now. And, you know, I said to her then, I was like, it's kind of hard to answer that question. But like now watching Josh, I think like I was just thinking about Josh Allen so much last night. And like that's why it's such a bummer that it's kind of come this way. Because like, you know, now we're watching this game together again last night. And I'm like, get ready for a fireworks show, because mm-hmm. like that Josh Allen that you remember is not this Josh Allen. Like this is going to be a totally different thing. I was so excited for the Bills and just so. It's such a crusher for them. I mean, that's where my mindset was for most of that game, obviously towards the end. And it just, because how often do you see a game like that where you just feel like, oh, this team's got it. This team's got it. But then so much time left for Patrick Mahomes. Like if anybody can do it, he can do it. And then they just kept on doing it. So it was just like one, you know, how I felt kind of with the Raiders and Chargers, like that was just such an exhilarating game to end the regular season. And it was just like every single punch was so good. It was basically like that, but on, you know, steroids, on speed or whatever right. you want to say, because it was
with
that
an all-star cast, right?
Yes, right. Like exactly. It was like as if I mean, this is a stupid analogy, but it's like you remade a great movie, but with a better cast and better special effects. Usually actually that ends up killing the movie. But in this scenario, it worked better.
Now, on the flip side of this, I know you appreciate, Pat, the football aspects of everything that went on this weekend. We were talking about before the show, we were talking about Joe Burrow, we were talking about the Bengals, talking about, obviously, this game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Brady comeback there and all that. But I know for you personally, it was a tough one there, losing again there for the Packers. And every year I feel bad. I feel guilty about this. It's like you have to take the temperature of the Packer fan. And I feel like every year it's getting more and more like an old school temperature, you know, where they used to put it. So that being said, Pat, how are you doing? How are you holding up here after another disappointing end? And what is your temperature right now with the Aaron Rodgers situation and with the Pack?
Yeah, I felt surprisingly okay about it. On Sunday morning, Joe, like the coffee still tasted okay. I kind of woke up ready for the rebuild. I really did. Like, I think it's just time to, you know, get picks and maybe some young players for Aaron, move on, give Love his chance in 2022. And if he stinks, we're going to be positioned well in a quarterback loaded draft in 2023. So yeah, it hurt, man. And I hate that, you know, Matt LaFleur didn't fix the special teams, which I think a lot of hardcore Packer fans kind of felt like was going to bite us in the butt at some point. And sure enough, it did at, you know, in inopportune moments. But yeah, man, just back to the craziness of those games, to have three of those games and on field goals at the final gun. And those three weren't the most exciting game. The other one's like an all-timer. And those were just like the boring games, the ones that end with a last-minute, last-second game-winning kick. It's just what a weekend of football it was.
All three road underdogs too, Pat. I mean, it was just absolutely wild. What a crazy fun. I mean, the NFL could not ask for anything more. I don't know how they're going to follow it up this weekend. But look, we've got fantasy to talk about, but we are football fans first and foremost. And we're just like, still, I feel like goosebumps from just talking about these games and watching them over the weekend. It was just such great football. And if you want more football, head over to fantasypros.com/contest, because we've got a jersey giveaway. A Jalen Waddle autographed jersey can be yours. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. Then when you do that, you screenshot that bad boy, you head over to fantasypros.com/contest, you enter into your information, and just like that, you can win that Jalen Waddle jersey thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. Also, don't forget, this is that time of year where we're starting to look ahead, as we're talking about, and especially in those dynasty leagues. So the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast is back with our own personal hero, Kyle Yates, leading the charge here. He's going to have all the aspects of the draft coming up in 2022, all your trade help, all your look ahead at the prospects, but also look ahead at the values, the ups and the downs, everything in between in terms of dynasty. Kyle Yates has you covered, so make sure you go subscribe to the Dynasty Football Podcast wherever you get your pods. So, gentlemen, my promise today was about wide receivers, and the first thing I want to talk about is approach, because we have to talk about what we learned from 2021 in order to look ahead to 2022. And for me, I was already kind of leaning in this direction. Pat, you and I have had these conversations, I know, kind of off air about how we should value maybe wide receivers going forward. Matt, I want to start with you, though, on this, because you're our guest. What did you learn from 2021? And is it time to look at 2022 as a year where the first round is going to look a little bit more wide receiver heavy than maybe in the past because of the last 2 years and the war of injury attrition at the running back position? And frankly, the investments might be better at the wide receiver position to start building your fantasy team.
I think so. I mean, I feel like the last several seasons, there's been more of a temptation to consider waiting on the wide receiver position and, you know, trying to kind of collect these guys in the mid to late rounds while you load up on running backs early. That's been sort of kind of a conventional thought, I feel like, the last few seasons. But man, if you kind of eschewed the wide receiver position in the first five rounds of your drafts, you missed out on some of like the picks of the year. There were of course, obviously some later round hits. There's always going to be, but I would say that the biggest lesson I probably learned from this year, and I think it's one that we just have to be reminded of every year, it's like offensive ecosystem matters so much. Obviously, quarterback matters a ton. You know, that's part of the premise of why I do reception perception, is that wide receiver production is so dependent on outside variables, primarily the quarterback, that it's hard to figure out how good these guys are without considering their surroundings. You have to basically be a lunatic like me that goes and watches all these routes back over and over again. And I don't suggest anybody else do that. Like, I'll just do it for you and I'll have no luck. That's fine. But yeah, I think that ecosystem and offensive environment really does matter so much. I mean, for guys, you know, like Ja'Marr Chase, just dropped into a perfect situation with his quarterback from college, obviously was a great one to think about. Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel, like two of the values from this year, like just the smash pick of smash picks at the wide receiver position. Those guys were in beautiful ecosystems and then also benefited from chaos. I think that we think about running backs can obviously benefit from chaos, especially backup running backs, right? And chaos, we know, hits the running backs like no one else. You know, the injury rates are so high. The attrition, as you mentioned, is such a big problem that these backup running backs can come in and become league winners. But, you know, for a guy like Cooper Kupp, for a guy like Deebo Samuel, I think both those guys, especially Samuel, with Brandon Ayuk being doghoused for the first 7 weeks, basically out of nowhere, for George Kittle being hurt, like, he carried you through those first like 8 weeks of the season, primarily just as a wide receiver. And then, you know, the offensive ecosystem helped him as well when he was then put into this unique one of one unicorn role. Like, we should not be trying to find the next Deebo Samuel, because there probably will not be one, right? I mean, for the running back stuff that he did. So both those things, I think, really played into Samuel there. So those will be two things. Obviously, chaos is hard to predict, but you know, especially offensive ecosystem, I will be putting a pretty big premium on in my 2022 drafts.
I think that is a perfect way of phrasing it, is the ecosystem and the positive one. And you know, for me, Pat, I always talk about the quarterbacks, right? You understand the quarterback play, there's a good chance you understand the offense and how everything's a trickle down effect. And that's kind of what Matt's saying now too. So is that the other takeaway for you, Pat, that, you know, really investing in those offenses that are going to put points on the board, they're going to move the football consistently, rather than trying to hope that somebody breaks out, instead really focusing on the better top tier offenses and let even the lesser guys or the secondary guys on that offense help contribute to your team? Is that your lesson from 2021? Is it something else? What are you looking from last year into this year?
That's a big one, Joe. What Matt said about ecosystems and the importance of being in a good one was so spot on. And I mean, I think I was a little bit too high on guys and not quarterback sensitive enough to guys like Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, who I still think is a terrific receiver who just really needs a quarterback if he is ever going to take it to, you know, and we saw DJ Moore like be pretty impactful for the first month of the season. We were like, yes, this was what we were waiting for. And then, you know, unfortunately, Sam Darnold just slammed headlong into the wall. Even Allen Robinson, to some extent, who I guess we had maybe concluded was immune to bad quarterback play after some of the guys he had produced with, Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, and, you know, he was still putting up wide receiver one seasons. And we thought, oh, sure, with a promising young Justin Fields, it shouldn't be a problem for him to produce again. And it just kind of didn't happen. Kenny Golladay just couldn't put up any numbers with, you know, that ridiculous offense in you know, with the Giants. So yes, I want to be more QB sensitive. And I also want to kind of in the offseason monitor the trend towards maybe positionless football. We've seen with like Deebo Samuel getting this running back usage. We saw it a little bit with Jamal Agnew becoming sort of a valuable asset for a while with Jacksonville. Like, I kind of want to see the reports with various teams in the offseason. Like, is there anyone else getting this sort of consideration for this double duty as both pass catcher and runner? So, you know, that could potentially spike someone's value. I mean, I'd love to see someone like LaVisca Chenault, who I'm starting to really worry about and kind of sour on. Like I'd almost love to see them just say like, okay, we're gonna give him some running back snaps this season and maybe see if he's got Debo potential. So, but yeah, the quarterback thing is a big one. Like I'm going to be watching how the game of musical chairs at quarterbacks goes down in the off season. I think there are more quarterbacks,
than chairs.
Yeah. There aren't enough chairs. So it's going to be kind of a fun off season. And, you know, like the teams that go in with really iffy quarterback situations, I might just sort of draft around the wide receivers on those teams.
I gotta ask you.
Sorry, just to jump in on this as well. Like when you look at the top 10 receivers from last year in fantasy, if you just look at Yahoo standard scoring half point PPR, Cooper Kupp, playoffs, Debo Samuel, playoffs, Devontae Adams, playoff, Justin Jefferson, obviously not, Jamar Chase in the playoffs, Tyreek Hill in the playoffs, Steph Diggs in the playoffs, Mike Evans in the playoffs, Deontay Johnson somehow in the playoffs, Mike Williams, number 10, he's the last one, and they were like a couple plays away.
He were in the playoffs if they had just had done one or two things right.
Right, you know, so it's Matt, like, I ask teams you, matters a lot. Good
oh, it totally does. I want to ask you this because you made the comment, no one's Debo Samuel, and I agree with you, but when you watch, like you were talking about Agnew before, Pat mentioned, when you watch Cordarrelle Patterson, these guys, it is a copycat league. It is starting to feel like the concept of some things that you see in college and even in high school football across in you know, all lower levels of football is get your playmaker, the best person on your team, the football, let them make plays. And all of a sudden it's starting to trickle in a little bit to the NFL level. Because it's a copycat league, I'm not saying anyone's going to be Debo Samuel, but Matt, do you think you're going to see a couple other teams try this or draft guys with this in mind of saying, maybe we can do this with this player?
I think that it's the creativity part of it, like being open to moving a guy to, because that's the thing about Debo. It's like, they're not just giving him, you know, some little cute reverses or anything like that.
No, he's
like
running between lining, tackles.
Yeah. Like they're lining that guy up and it's like, this is, you know, follow your blocks, find the hole in the zone blocking scheme, like cut it back if you have to, like doing, you know, what Raheem Mostert would be doing as the starting running back, or Eli Mitchell would be doing as the starting running back for this team. I mean, that is crazy unique. So I think coaches should have more flexibility with how can we just get our best players the ball in space? Like, let's make this easy, especially if you've got a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I mean, we're talking about like good quarterbacks and good offensive ecosystems. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a like, you know, starting level quarterback, right? I mean, is he a guy that's going to give you that top 10 juice? No, probably not. But like, how can we make it take Garoppolo out of it? Like, how can we get Debo the ball faster? Obviously putting him at running back will do that. So I definitely think that there are guys that have that capability. It's just like being as good at both. That's what's really, really hard. You know, a guy like Curtis Samuel, I think could be, you know, a player. We've seen him sort of play that role because he's not as good of a player as Debo Samuel, of course, but like he's a very good individual receiver, but can also do some of that running back stuff too. He's an interesting guy to consider in that type of role, but we'll see if he is healthy ever again in our lifetimes. That would be great. But yeah, so I mean, I definitely think that coaches can and should be more flexible and creative with how they get their players the ball.
One more question. I want to move on to more guys because I think this is important, because I think Debo Samuel has been such a revelation, and you watched Patterson really wear down at the end of the year. He was not the same player in the second half. And Debo's a player that struggled with injuries. Pat, are you concerned at all with whoever takes on that role, if a team is trying to do it, that the injury quotient for them, again, with more contact from the running back position, there becomes a lot more risk built into some of those players, and maybe even Debo Samuel himself going forward into next year, who has a history of injury, first couple of years in the league, and this year had an enormous workload and contact workload when you add in all the positions he played plus the playoffs?
I think you have to be just knowing what the injury rate is for running backs versus the injury rate for wide receivers. And we know it's greater for running backs. And that's kind of one of the big reasons why some people are big believers in the zero running back approach to drafting. And so, yeah, when you go from, I think Debo had 6 carries in his first 8 games, and over the rest of the regular season averaged like 6.6 or 6.7 carries a game the rest of the way. So yeah, that does, I mean, you're just taking more hits, so it does up the chances of injury. And you know, I guess that's sort of something you have to balance out if you're one of these play callers. Like, do you want to subject the guy to that much potential punishment, or do you want to be a little more judicious about it and do the, you know, the Sean McVay thing where he runs Robert Woods like twice a game on reverses?
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings. 4 teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only 4 teams left for you to bet on at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? You can experience the conference championships, same game parlays that they've got at DraftKings. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. And DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code FANTASYPROS and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That promo code FANTASYPROS for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now, back to the action. Move on to a very, I think, important thing. January is very cathartic, I feel like, for all the fantasy football analysts out there. It's a little time for a little therapy for all of us. So, Matt, I'll start with you with this one. Who let you down this year? Just open up the floodgates of the emotion. This is a safe space, as they like to say. Tell me, who was it that you had really high expectations for this year, you had a lot of shares of in leagues, and just really let you down? And then, subsequently, is that somebody you want to buy back in on, or are you just out now?
Are we talking just strictly wide receivers, or are we opening
strictly wide receivers for now? We're going to stick with wide receivers. Then we'll move on to tight end, and you can have the same therapy with me. Then I'm going to charge an extra $200 though for that hour.
All right, perfect. Well, you can bill my insurance. Hopefully, we'll see.
Sounds good.
But
I'll bill them twice.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Even better. All right. So I would say somebody that definitely, you know, let me down. And this is an important thing too. Always think about seasons in like chapters of the year, because there are certain guys, you know, like I said with Ayuk earlier, that was something I wish. Like, if we had one inkling that was going to be a thing, that would have been nice. Like, one hint, that would have been cool. Of course, did not happen. Like, the first 7 weeks of the season, that was obviously, he was just an unplayable guy. And then it took like at least a couple of games to be like, okay, he's back to running full routes. Like, you know, by week 10, maybe again, you could start trusting him. And then he gave you pretty decent production. So there are some guys in like chapters of the season to let down, but I would say Pat hit it on the head with Allen Robinson earlier. I mean, I really thought I was doing something with, you know, round two, Antonio Gibson, bring it back in round three with Allen Robinson, and yikes, that did not go well for my teams. I think Robinson, especially, like I said, he was just a guy that you couldn't play at any point it confidently in 2021. I think it all just depends on where he lands next year. If he lands in a good spot, you know, one of these good teams with a good ecosystem, I will definitely be ready and willing to buy back in, because I don't believe that he just suddenly kind of fell off the face of the earth. I think he obviously wasn't 100% for a lot of the year. Also landed himself on the COVID list and apparently lost like 10 pounds. It was just like one nightmare after another. And obviously just not playing in a good offensive ecosystem there as well in Chicago. So he was definitely somebody that let me down, a guy that I have come to
see all the emotions coming out. You can hear in your voice. I like this. You're going to feel much better after this show's over.
Very good. Long time listeners and followers know that, you know, Robinson's like one of my guys too, which is especially painful.
Sure.
When that does not happen there. So, he's definitely somebody I'd love to buy back in on next year. Just depends on where he lands.
And the problem was the illusion that things were getting better, right? You were getting Fields. You were getting a potential upgraded quarterback. Part. That's the worst part, is you went, oh, he's always been good with these bad quarterbacks. Why can't he be better now than he ever was? And unfortunately, that did not come to fruition. Pat Fitzmaurice, how about you? You've had some time to think about it. Who really let you down at the wide receiver position? And what are your thoughts on them heading into this coming season?
I mentioned him earlier. Laviska Shenault was a guy I was heavily invested in, especially in Dynasty. And now I'm just not sure where to go with him from this point on. Certainly, like, I think the whole franchise was set back by the Urban Meyer year, just kind of a lost year for the Jaguars. And I still think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good quarterback, although I'm not maybe sold on him being as glittering a prospect as we thought he was going to be coming into the season. Just like the usage for Shenault, like, are they going to continue to have him be this low A dot close to the line of scrimmage guy? Are they ever going to try to work him down the field? I mean, this was just a guy I kind of fell in love with when he was a sophomore at the University of Colorado. And he just had this season where he was, you know, they could hand it off to him. They could go deep to him. They could use him in just myriad ways and have him punish defenses. And we just haven't seen that really. And I don't know if he's like, he hasn't been quite as elusive as I hoped he was going to be. He hasn't been, you know, able to, well, they really just haven't used him downfield much in the passing game. So I don't know. Like, I want to know what the plan is for him next year before I even like think of touching him. And I might need a prove it season before I go back on him. And just sticking with the positionless football thing, I really thought Rondale Moore was going to have a good rookie year, and it just kind of didn't happen. I would love for Cliff Kingsbury to give him a chance to be Steve Smith. Like, I, from what I saw of him at Purdue, like, I think he's capable of doing that. I saw him hurt my own Wisconsin Badgers down the field. I saw him hurt the Ohio State Buckeyes in a game where he single-handedly won it by himself. I mean, the Rondale Moore of like 2018, that freshman year was just like trying to tackle Mercury and like come up with like something a little more unique in terms of his usage and not just these little, you know, slip plays out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, they've got to go back to the drawing board on him. Cause I'm convinced he can be a really good player, but like, I just wasn't real happy about the usage this year.
That's fair enough. All right, let's continue to talk about hypotheticals for a second here. Let's talk a little bit about Devontae Adams, because let's paint the universe where Aaron Rodgers is no longer in Green Bay, but Devontae Adams is because he gets franchise tagged. Pat, what does that do to Devontae Adams in terms of your ranking of him as a wide receiver in 2022?
Oh, man. I mean, from what we talked about and being more quarterback sensitive, right, it might slide him out of wide receiver one range. Like, we saw him play one game with Jordan Love. And, you know, tough spot for Love with Rodgers going on the COVID list. It wasn't like there was a lot of prep time. So you got to give Love maybe a bit of a pass. But Adams that game, 6 catches, 42 yards on 14 targets. So 3 yards a target. You know, his average over the season was 9.2. So that's pretty bleak. And, you know, I just don't think you get top five upside if he's playing a full season with Jordan Love. And
Matt, I'm going to test your ecosystem too, Matt, because I want to know about you think about this one too. Do you think that same thing with Pat, that he falls out of wide receiver one altogether? Because again, talent is one thing, ecosystem is the other. If that ecosystem becomes Jordan Love running that, what happens?
It's challenging, right? I mean, I think that if we have Rodgers and Adams back in Green Bay next year together, I think that Adams is probably my wide receiver one overall, you know, even ahead of Cooper Kupp, just because like that reliability, the touchdown upside is just so enormous there for Devontae Adams. So, and then I agree with Pat though, like you really got to start sliding him down the list because Love is just such a huge question mark. Now I do think, the Packers have done a great job of, getting Adams a lot of layups. You know, they're not just like, go out there and win against the number one corner as an ISO guy every single time. You know, they'll get him screens, they'll get him routes out of the slot, stuff like that. They'll make his life a little easier than, you know, some of these teams have with bad quarterbacks and then number one wide receivers. There's Terry McLaurin's a great example. Like, they never really got, you know, got him going with some like layups and stuff like that. It was basically just go win contested balls on the outside, because that's all Heinicke's going to throw you. And that can be a tough way to live when you're Terry McLaurin. So I do think that he wouldn't completely fall off the map, but I agree. Like, it would be hard pressed for me to like click his name confidently at any point when you have all of these guys that are going to go, you know, in that range, like Kupp and Debo and Justin Jefferson. I mean, although Justin Jefferson, we'll see if he doesn't have Kirk Cousins next year, that could be kind of a disastrous ecosystem as well. So, you know, definitely something I would probably start dropping him, certainly out of the top five receivers. And, you know, at some point you're going to get to like wide receiver 7 or 8, and it's still Devontae Adams. And the tough part, Pat, maybe you would have a better sense of this than I do, because you follow the team so closely, but like, I mean, we could sit here and say like, all right, well, with a full off season of Jordan Love, like preparing as the guy, maybe he'd be better in his third season. But like, didn't we kind of get that last year with Rodgers basically being away from the team for so long? I don't know. I don't know that would make me feel that confident. Like, we know starting March that Jordan Love's going to be the starting quarterback. Like, he's going to be that much better next year than what we're projecting.
That's kind of it. We just have not seen enough flashes, I think, where it's there. Like, even this year with Trevor Lawrence, we saw the flashes. I mean, there were times where he would just stick throws. It's like, oh yeah, that's the guy I saw at Clemson. And I just, like, I haven't seen enough glimmers of hope from Jordan Love to make me think that he's going to be like a, you know, even an average starting quarterback anytime soon.
Who knows? Oh, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is the new quarterback of the Green Bay Packers next year. I mean, he seems to like beating up Green Bay. Maybe you just take him off the off the 49ers. Maybe you don't have to worry about them anymore. Let's keep testing your faith on a couple other big-time wide receivers because, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea where most of the pool falls, but there's two other extraordinary talents out there. Michael Thomas, who just 2 years ago was looking like the possible 1-1 pick overall, and Calvin Ridley coming off an incredible wide receiver 1 year. Both those guys are potential trade targets this year. I don't think either one is going to come back to their respective teams as things are currently constituted. So, Matt, I'm going to ask you this. How do you approach those two entities? I know so much of it has to do with where they end up, but are you somebody who's going to be aggressive in any keeper or dynasty format on, say, Calvin Ridley or on Michael Thomas now before the price maybe goes up when they do get moved on to another situation? Or are you concerned a little bit too much because Calvin Ridley's situation is unique with the mental health issues that maybe that shies you away? How do you feel about those two entities?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley is a really tough one to talk about just because obviously, it, like you mentioned, it is such a unique situation. And Michael Thomas is almost equally as tough to talk about because it's been such a long layoff since we've seen him. Like, we haven't seen him operate in peak form since like 2019. You know, think about your life in 2019, fellas. That was an awful long time ago, right? So, I mean, it's a very difficult set of circumstances to approach with Ridley. You know, I do think it sounds like if he comes back to football, it will be with a new team. I think he is such a good player. I think he is, you know, a Stephon Diggs light sort of guy. Like, but what's the scenario where he goes and, you know, gets matched with a great quarterback? I think there are some you could point to. But then again, like the Eagles are sitting there with three first round picks. And that seems like such an obvious one for them to just go trade a one for Calvin Ridley. And then it's like, well, now we've got Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts, you know, Dallas Goedert and Calvin Ridley. That's a great offense on paper, but maybe not the best for fantasy with the way that they want to run the ball. And obviously some of the volume that Hurts is going to take. So the position is just so good right now with wide receiver. Like if you can get a nice discount on these guys in dynasty, I think you can go for it. But you know, a guy like Michael Thomas, I almost think like, what's the scenario where you're going to truly, truly, truly regret? Like, man, I didn't go trade aggressively for this guy. Like, again, if the discount is beautiful, go for it. Like, because I think especially Ridley is still a young guy in his prime. Thomas is relatively young though as well. So again, the discount's got to be right. Cause it's just a lot of risk to take on, and wide receivers just so plentiful with great options right now. It's kind of hard to say, like, is either one of these guys going to go to a team and have like a top five fantasy season next year? That seems kind of very unlikely, but who knows?
If you had to maybe, I don't know, fantasy book a little bit where these guys might end up, Pat, if you wanted to put Ridley on a team or Michael Thomas on a team, there's some teams out there, some good ones too, that could use some help at the wide receiver position. Where would you want to put these guys from a fantasy perspective if you could?
Matt totally got my mouth watering with the Ridley to Philly thing. I mean, maybe some people would freak a little bit about the too many mouths to feed thing, but like Ridley played with Jalen Hurts in 2016 and 2017.
It's a lot of Alabama wide receivers in one.
It's a lot of Alabama.
It is. It's a lot of Alabama in that offense. I mean, you know, I'm as a Packers fan, maybe I don't want to see it, but I'm sure like people here in Chicago would love to see Calvin Ridley in a Bears uniform. A Ridley Mooney combo would be pretty attractive. You know, maybe he could be Trevor Lawrence's go-to guy in Jacksonville. So there's some interesting possibilities. With Thomas, I think he's been kind of enough of a loose cannon. I think you need like a strong-willed head coach with him. So maybe the Patriots, maybe the Ravens.
That's what I keep saying too. I feel like that's the perfect guy for the Pats, like especially stylistically.
Yes.
I think with the kind of offense they'd want to run, I think Michael Thomas fits exactly that profile. And they've had a track record of taking some of the problem children and getting a lot of out of them over the years,
guys,
because of that discipline factor, like you said.
Guys get in line when they go to New England. You know, they know they're not going to be around if they pop off. So yeah, I think that'd be a perfect landing spot for him.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. If you are looking for the greatest NFL, MLB, NBA, it doesn't matter what sport you love, because Pristine Auction has the greatest swag you're ever going to find. And we're talking about autographed helmets, jerseys, posters, anything you could possibly imagine. Pristine Auction has got it, and it can be yours, and you can start bidding today for free on any of that stuff just by signing up. And when you sign up with the promo code Fantasy Pros, Then you get a $5 credit on us as well. What could be better than that? Here's $5 free. Start bidding on something amazing, and you can put it in your man cave, your she shed. You can give it away as a gift, or you can just gift it to yourself. But you gotta get involved and start bidding today at Pristine Auction. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. auction.com. Once again, that's pristineauction.com. Everything there is authentic and backed by their certification of authenticity, and there's stuff there that's affordable too. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to put a smile on your face. So go to pristineauction.com today, sign up with the promo code Fantasy Pros, take that $5 credit, and start bidding on some incredible items today. Again, that's pristineauction.com. And now back to the action. All right, let's move on here. Some of the free agents. We mentioned Allen Robinson, Mike Williams, Chris Godwin, Odell Beckham, Pat. There's a bunch of big names here out there. In your opinion, you know, I know so much of this happens to be where they're going to end up. And I know a guy like Odell Beckham, for instance, really kind of rebuilt himself a little bit on the Rams. Let's start with Odell. Do you think Odell has done enough here to kind of reinstate himself in good favor with fantasy players? Or do you think this is a bit of a mirage and you're still just not buying it regardless of wherever he ends up playing next year?
I think we just have to recalibrate expectations with Odell a little bit. Like, he's still got these fantastic hands. And, you know, I think he can be sort of another Adam Thielen type, like this later stage Adam Thielen, where he's not going to put up the 1400 yard season anymore. I think that's kind of gone, and we might be lucky to get 1,000 out of him, but I think he could do 10 or 11 touchdowns. I don't know if we've got like enough splash play potential left from him. Although he did, you know, have one big play yesterday against the Buccaneers, but I don't know if we're going to see the same sort of Odell we used to see with the Giants, where this guy was, you know, running loose in the open field constantly. I think he's, you know, maybe less of a yak guy than he used to be, but man, with those hands, like, just get him a good quarterback who can get the ball in those mitts. And like, I think he could be a touchdown machine.
And Chris Godwin, obviously a guy who's looked very good when he's been on the field, but has missed some time here these last 2 years. How do you evaluate a guy like that, Matt, in terms of if he ends up back with the Buccaneers, if Brady ends up retiring? I mean, there's so many variables in a player like that. If you have stock in them, how do you approach somebody like Godwin, or even somebody like Evans for that account too, right now with the situation in Tampa? Because even if Brady does come back and everybody comes back for one more ride, how much longer can you keep playing these 1 year deals with these players?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the good thing with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin is that these guys are such good players that, like, they could be fantasy stars with any quarterback. I mean, like, not any quarterback, of course. I don't mean that, but, like, you know,
well,
these guys.
Winston was pretty good with them. Yep. Let's go almost exactly any quarterback.
Exactly what I was going to say. Like, any guy that's, like, at replacement level or sort of hover in that line, I think would get these guys to wide receiver one seasons. And honestly, now that, like, Antonio Brown is officially out of the mix, like, he's not coming back obviously to Tampa Bay. We'll see if he comes back anywhere in the NFL. I kind of doubt it, but you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, like, they're back to potentially dominating targets there. Like, that would be huge for their fantasy football stock or whatever. But I think both of these guys are number one wide receivers. They're very, very different. I actually think that, like, I'm glad that Mike Evans has sort of had this moment with Brady, because I think it's kind of signaled to people that he's not just this, like, jump ball deep threat receiver. Right. This guy has become, I've been saying this for like the past 4 years, you know, pre Tom Brady, like, this guy has become a really, really, really excellent technician, especially for a player of his size. Like, his reception perception numbers, you know, people would think he's just a guy that never gets open, you know, not even close. Like, he does create separation. He is a really good route runner. And then obviously Chris Godwin is just like, I think Chris Godwin could go to any team and make an offense better, because he's that good in that power slot role. He's such a badass blocker. You know, he gets those layup targets over the middle of the field, but obviously the ideal situation for 2022, at least, is, you know, he's back in Tampa. Brady's back in Tampa, and obviously Evans will still be there as well. But we shall see. I mean, are the Bucs going to be able to pull off the whole, like, we bring everybody back thing again? Godwin's going to be tough, but maybe in the cold reality, you hate to say this, but in the cold reality of the NFL, like, maybe guys like Chris Godwin and Michael Gallup too, another guy who had a late season ACL tear, like, they could end up back on their teams on like some prove it contract or something like that.
It's possible. I'm glad you're giving some love to Mike Evans too, because I think after this year, I started to bring up that topic of maybe Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, folks. Like maybe we start thinking about it. Yeah. If you look at the body of work that Mike Evans has put out there in his career with some lesser quarterbacks, and then when you see him with Tom Brady and you see, my goodness, look how he's flourishing in these roles here. And he is an older wide receiver. There gives me that pause. The hamstring issues are something that have hampered him over the last few years, but he's powered through all of that and put up incredible numbers every single season, it seems like. And I'm glad he's starting to get some love, and I'm glad that your metric gives him some love, because I think he deserves it a little bit more than he gets.
Joe, I think too with Mike Evans, like you also look back at, you know, not just within the context of his career and what he's done with Brady, but like look back at that 2014 draft class that like everybody was gassed up about, you know, that wide receiver group was, and it's pretty much lived up to the hype. I mean, there's a lot of great players in there, but like when you look at, obviously Sammy Watkins, LOL, was the first guy drafted that year. That's been a rocky journey. Odell was like the guy who had the best peak in that class, but we know that's been a rocky journey. Allen Robinson's had a rocky journey.
Kelvin Benjamin in that class too.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna think about good. I wasn't gonna bring up like Marquise Lee. I was gonna think about just the good players, right? You know, Davante Adams is a great. He's like the best receiver in the NFL right now, but he's had a rocky journey. The one guy of this class who's been in Jarvis
from day one, you're right.
But like the day one guy from all the way from start to finish, whenever that is, the one guy who's been like consistently a top 10 receiver has been Mike Evans.
Yeah, 100% correct. All right, let's keep talking about this. I love this. This is my favorite kind of show to do. We kind of have a feeling already where the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be without Ben Roethlisberger. So Pat, what does that do to Deontay Johnson's potential value, Chase Claypool's potential value going into the 2022 season?
I mean, can it hurt it? Like, even if we get a year of Mason Rudolph, is that any worse than a lateral move for those receivers? I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
You know, it's funny, Pat. I feel like there's certain, you know, there's you're being flippant and you're right. But then there's that little thing where, you know what? But Ben Roethlisberger, does that have intangible quality of a quarterback who, you know, can throw the ball in the right spot and can still make the plays and still can read the defense? So you're right. Yeah, maybe it can't be any worse, but I don't know. Maybe it can. I don't know.
And I don't think they're going to go in with just Rudolph and Haskins as their only option. I think they're going to, like, wouldn't it be cool for them to get Kenny Pickett and have him be in the mix to, you know, be starting in Pittsburgh?
Cast aside the old draft demons of not taking Dan Marino, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe they are players in the Aaron Rodgers Derby if there is one this offseason. Mm. So I do think they are going to be one of the teams in that musical chairs dance. And maybe, you know, when the music stops, they're not one of the teams that gets a chair. But, you know, at minimum, I think they're going to be one of the teams that gets one of the five or six quarterbacks in this draft who could potentially be starters within a year or two.
All right. I want to talk about some of our favorite guys, the guys that, you know, Oprah has her favorite things. Well, we've all got our favorite things, too. And I know for me, one of my favorite things was Gabriel Davis going into this year. Another one was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, the problem is I drafted both these guys. I got nothing out of them, and I had to drop both of them. And then by the end of the year, I just said, oh, I wish I had both these guys on my roster again. I was able to give it one more piece of Davis. But then after last night, watching Gabriel Davis get four touchdowns, we all know that when you have all the public attention on a game like that, the draft stock's going to go through the roof. So those are two of my guys that I'm looking forward to next year. They still think are going to be good investments. We talk about the ecosystems. It's hard not to like the Bills ecosystem right now with Gabriel Davis, especially the age of Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders. It's time to move on from that and look to the future here. Matt, give me a couple of your guys, quote unquote, that you felt that you did get right there, even if it was towards the end, even if it was, you know, barely hanging on. You saw what you were looking for, and you think that somebody in 2022 should be building teams around next year.
Yeah, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's such a perfect example, because he's, like you said, if you drafted him, you're like, you're not the one that had him during his championship.
Oh, God,
most likely.
Shares of the ones I drafted, which probably were half a dozen. I had zero shares by the end of the year. None.
But that like is such a perfect way to talk about rookies. And a couple guys that I'll bring up here are going to be rookies as well, because like these guys are most likely, unless they're Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle, like they're not just going to walk into day one elite volume. But like Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, you can point to, okay, of course, DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson got hurt, but like they also promoted him after his bye week. When you look at like his snaps played, routes run, there's a clear jump after that point. So I think for rookies going forward, like, that's just an important lesson. Same thing with a guy like Elijah Moore. Like, it kind of took them forever, and that's my guy for next year, man. I mean, I'm gonna draft him on like every single team, and I'm gonna break the ecosystem rule that we talked about. I'm gonna break the quarterback rule.
It only took you about 38 minutes to break the ecosystem rule.
But as long as it's like at a decent value, right? Like, let me get like past round six, something like that, past round five. Can I get that on Elijah Moore? Because I think that is what, like, he can really be a total baller. And we saw him be, you know, quarterback proof, even with Zach Wilson there towards the end of their like time. He started putting up some decent numbers with Wilson. I actually like, I'm not completely out on Zach Wilson either. Like, from a passing efficiency standpoint, like, Justin Fields and Zach Wilson are basically like, they had very similar rookie seasons. Trevor Lawrence, you could argue, had even worse rookie seasons. So like, if you're out on Zach Wilson, I think you got to be out on all these rookie quarterbacks. And I think that's kind of silly. So Elijah Moore is definitely a guy I'll be looking to draft a ton of next season. And same with Rashad Bateman. And I think he's like the opposite of Elijah Moore. It's like, the flashes were sort of there, not quite as extreme as like Elijah Moore. Like, Elijah Moore basically became an every week fantasy starter at some point, and then obviously got hurt. Bateman never was quite that consistent, but certainly showed flashes. I think he's a great player, and he is in a good ecosystem there with Lamar Jackson. Obviously, there's some good quality players to compete with for targets in a potentially low volume, again, passing offense. We'll see how they operate next season. You know, Hollywood Brown's not going away. He's probably not going to get 140 something targets like he did this past year. Mark Andrews is obviously a good player, but again, good ecosystem there with a good quarterback. I feel being, comfortable being tied to there with Lamar Jackson. I think that Rashad Bateman in the late rounds will certainly be one of my prime targets.
All right, Pat, give me a couple of your guys too. The guys that you were in on from the beginning and that you, maybe you saw the fruition. Like, for me, Jalen Waddle was the one guy I did draft everywhere. All three of the teams that I had that made the championships all had Waddle on it. Was there somebody like that for you that you were in on, locked in, loaded this past year, and you feel like this is just the beginning of how good this player is going to be in 2022 at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I didn't get my I didn't get to cash in on Bateman like I thought. Like, that's Matt kind of stole that one from me, but I'm a big Bateman guy. I just fell in love with him in Minnesota and just feel like he's got no flaws in his game. Like, he can play in the slot, he can play out wide, he's got great hands, he's a good route runner, he's great after the catch. Like, I think it's going to eventually click for him. Can we circle back, though, Joe, to Gabriel Davis for a second? Because I was thinking about this. Like, I do not want to pass up the opportunity to talk to Matt Harmon and not get his take on Gabriel Davis. Because I feel like, and speaking of Matt while he's here, his good friend and mentor, Sigmund Bloom, says that there's always a concern about overreacting to what we see in fantasy football. But sometimes the bigger mistake is underreacting. And might there be the danger of actually underreacting? Like, are we seeing a superstar blossom before our eyes? And maybe we get like a little bit, once we've got a few weeks without football, did we kind of cool our heels a bit on Gabriel Davis and suddenly he's falling into the seventh round of drafts next year? Like, should we be regarding him as like a top 25 receiver, like a wide receiver two? Or is he more like a low-end wide receiver three? If you can get him in a nice deal in a draft, great, but don't get out over your skis for him.
I felt pretty good. It's always nice when somebody reminds you that like you got something right. It's one thing when you can like remind yourself, but I woke up this morning to a couple of the East Coast bros in the Reception Perception Discord, like already talking about Gabe Davis, obviously. And one of them is like, I think Harmon kind of nailed this Gabe Davis thing perfectly, where I said, I don't think he's ready to be a full-time receiver right away, like coming off of his rookie season, but I think he's got huge big playability. I think he can burn, and I think the Bills are going to need him at some point. Well, check, right? Like, clearly the Bills did not want to rely on Gabe Davis early on this year, because I still think he was not a refined route runner, not a good separator at every level of the field. That's why they went out and they kind of hedged their bets on Gabe Davis, and they signed Emmanuel Sanders, and they obviously keep Cole Beasley in a big time role. But there's a chance neither one of those guys is back in Buffalo next year. And, obviously Gabe Davis shows he's got the juice, man. I mean, I don't know if we're talking about potential future superstar, but like, if there's no Sanders, if there's no Cole Beasley, like, sign me up for Gabe Davis as like a top 30, top 24 receiver next year, because again, we're buying into the quarterback. We're buying into the ecosystem there with Josh Allen. And my God, like, I think the funny thing is, the longer that the Bills season went on, I was like, all right, enough already with Emmanuel Sanders. I love Manny Sanders. I think he's been a really good player and a really good, I think he was a good signing for the Bills. But I was like, you know who they need? They do need Gabe Davis, like, right now, because they needed, like, downfield juice. They needed someone to take vertical attention away from Stephon Diggs. And I think that's going to be just a huge development for everybody in Buffalo next year. Obviously, like, I want to go back and completely look at his season through RP and everything. And of course, he'll be one of the featured players on the website, you know, sooner than later. But man, he's an exciting talent. And yeah, if there's no Sanders and Beasley in Buffalo next year, sign me up absolutely for the big time Gabe Davis season. I do think he's got a lot of talent.
I think Stephon Diggs needs him to be a thing too. I think that really helps. And it was so perplexing because at the end of last year, I saw in big spots Josh Allen looking for him in those big spots, and he was coming up with touchdowns. And I thought, well, this is going to carry over. And then I saw the Sanders thing. It's like, wow, that feels like insurance to me. Older guy, just in case. But it wasn't early on. It just wasn't in the middle of the season. Towards the end, finally, we got Gabriel Davis. I think those of us who were supporting that potential finally got. And I think you are kind of put it out there too. Stephon Diggs is that alternate guy that he kind of needs somebody else there underneath to do some of those things. And my goodness, a pretty good route he ran yesterday. So put somebody on their rear end, run that route. That Kansas City corner still hasn't gotten up yet after that.
Yeah, Mike Hughes is still there, baby.
One last thing, and then I want to move on to tight ends. I know we've talked more about wide receiver even than I thought we were going to, but look, this is a huge thing because I think this is the most important position now in terms of building your fantasy roster. It just is. So, and we've got the genius here, Matt Harmon. So I want to talk to you about DeAndre Hopkins, because this was a guy going into the season, top five slam dunk overall, right? In the beginning of the year, we saw a little bit more economy of use of him, which might not be the worst thing in the world, but we're starting to get up there in age a little bit. We're coming off a year where there's soft tissue injuries and things like that. What is your take next year on DeAndre Hopkins? I know this is very early, but what does your gut tell you? Is this just a matter of tough season, write off injury, or the beginning of, say, the fall off that we get from the Julio Joneses, the AJ Greens of the world, the guys that we always depend on, but then kind of fall off the map all of a sudden when we snap our fingers?
Yeah, age cliffs at wide receiver, and like when that fall off happens is really, really tough. Even through, you know, the last 8 years of reception perception, it's usually very hard to see when the cliff is coming. Like
that's what worries me about Robinson for wherever he goes next year. That still sticks in my craw about Robinson is the age.
I love Robinson, obviously, but I completely agree with you. I mean, the one best example, I think, you know, that I could come up with when, like, there was a clear cliff was like Dez Bryant with his last year with the Cowboys. Like, his reception perception results went from, like, you know, really, really up there to sub 10th percentiles last year in Dallas. And, you know, Dallas cuts him. And like, this was right between my NFL Network and Yahoo days, to the point that, like, was not really going on any shows anymore with NFL and was kind of the transition was about to come. And good God, like, I remember NFL Network doing like breathless coverage of where's Dez Bryant going to land. And I was like, get me on one of these shows to tell him he's not going anywhere. And he never had any. I mean, he's basically didn't play again until like with Baltimore last year, which lets you know what that situation was looking like. So, I think that it is really tough with wide receivers and age cliffs. It's going to be tough with DeAndre Hopkins because nothing about, you know, his profile last year coming into 2021 signaled that the fall was coming. And I don't know that we got any fall off in his play, but of course the injuries is the biggest question there. Also, even from like a fantasy angle, we got to think about this offense as a whole, because when he was on the field, everybody's like, well, he's not going to keep scoring touchdowns on this volume. You know, I mean, of course he did mostly keep it up. He was a good fantasy player, but the volume totals were not what we expected. Now, Christian Kirk's a free agent. AJ Green's a free agent. You know, there's a chance that it could be DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, and maybe one other guy next year. Like, neither of those two are back, so that would be good for Hopkins from a volume perspective. I think the fact that he's not changing teams is a good thing for him. I tend to lean more optimistic, but that could totally be the wrong answer, because as I said, these age cliffs are very, very tough to predict.
All right, let's move on to tight end, and again, we'll do a little therapy here. Pat, we'll start with you this time. Who was the guy that let you down the most at tight end in 2021?
Tight end was actually pretty good for me this year. I kind of played it on the cheap and wound up falling into a lot of Dawson Knox and Dawson Knox and Dalton Schultz. Like, same. So
let's talk about that. Is that was my approach. That was your approach. It worked for both of us. Now, did we just get lucky, or do you think that is a really reasonable approach going into next year? Instead of paying that second, third round premium on those top guys, get those big time wide receivers instead, who probably have a little bit more target share, a little bit more, you know, touchdown equity, maybe just overall fantasy points, and then let tight end, you take a couple shots here and there, and maybe you hit one and that's good enough. Is that what you learned from this year?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of used to be a middle tier tight end guy. And I think the middle tier is the worst tier to be at. I think, like, go big or go home. And there is one guy who let me down in one league. I had Noah Fant in one league, and I was not too pleased with that. And I think Fant could still pop eventually, but it was just kind of a not a great season for him. Disappointing. I didn't profit on that draft pick, I guess. So that's kind of the tier where I don't want to be in 2022.
Now, Noah Fant, if he should get a quarterback upgrade, let's for fun drop Russell Wilson in there. Like, I don't think that's going to be the guy, but let's just drop him in there. I know Aaron Rodgers is another popular choice. Everyone wants to put Aaron Rodgers everywhere. But here's my question. If you upgrade the quarterback position, in your opinion, is that a time to buy back into Noah Fant on the cheap next year?
I guess it kind of depends. Like, I've seen some speculation about what a trade with Aaron Rodgers to Denver might look like. And it's got Albert O going back to the Packers. Now, if Albert O is out of there, like, because I think Albert O is a pretty sneaky good guy. Like, he's a guy, I think, who within 3 years is going to be a guy we're going to be coveting in fantasy drafts. So if Albert O moves on and we get, like, Aaron Rodgers paired with Noah Fant, then, yeah, like, I'm in. I think he's moving closer to that top tier. But, you know, it depends. If it's Russ and Albert O is still there, I'm maybe probably still considering him as one of those mid-tier guys I'm looking to avoid.
Matt, how about you? When you look back at the 2021 season, what's your big takeaway from your approach with tight end? And is it something you're changing, or did it work for you? How do you feel about your approach in last year and how it impacts your 2022 thinking?
Well, I was hoping you're going to ask me, like, the who let me down question, because that one's
easy. Well, who let you down too?
It's Let's Tyler do that. Higbee, brother. Oh, yeah.
You and Yates both are the Tyler Higbee. There's a couple guys I knew were very pro Tyler Higbee.
I mean, and the worst part is
you had the right notion behind it.
Yeah.
It was all there, but
yeah, right. Like, exactly. The Rams offense takes a step forward with Stafford. A guy like Cooper Kupp hits his best career season. So, like, obviously the juice brought in by Stafford certainly worked. And like, from a usage standpoint, you know, I know this because, like, I was repeating this to myself, you know, like, as I fell asleep every night, like, the routes runs there for Tyler Higbee. But the routes run, right? Like, you know, so that was there, but
it was like Rachel and Friends when they kept telling her to go deep. And she's like, that's all I'm doing is going deep. And she just keeps running and running when they play in that football game on Thanksgiving. I feel like that was Tyler Higbee, basically. Just run, Tyler. We'll find you eventually.
I'll keep my friends' takes to myself. Otherwise, we'll probably. But anyways, so I think when it comes to Tyler Higbee too, it's like he had this big game in Week 18, which is even more of just like another like knife in the side type of thing. But that was easy. The guy that I got wrong this year, and that's even like sometimes you invest in the good ecosystem. Sometimes you get the guy that plays all the snaps, and you just don't hit it right. And that was certainly the case with Higbee. I do love like. Pat bringing up Dawson Knox and Dalton Schultz. Like, I wish I had drafted more of those guys, especially because there's certainly a contrarian in me that like just loves when everybody is like universally looking at Blake Jarwin is like, oh, he's back this year off his injury. He's coming back to the starting job. It's like, bro, Dalton Schultz had a pretty good year in 2020. And like, he's not some like old fart, you know, like he's a pretty young tight end that's been around for a couple of years, but could easily be taking that next step. Dalton Schultz actually is a guy I didn't draft at all, but ended up on a lot of my teams, a lot of my like good teams in fantasy, because he was just so people were just not willing to buy into Dalton Schultz for whatever reason. And the Dawson Knox, I think, is a great example of when you continue, like the best way to profit in fantasy is, you know, the Darren Waller effect, the Logan Thomas effect, the Dawson Knox effect. Like if you can find like a young, you know, even if they've been on a weird career path, like Waller and, you know, Logan Thomas, but like a relatively inexperienced or young tight end that's got athletic upside, like Dawson Knox did on a good, potentially, you know, ascending offense. Like obviously the Bills are the best of the offenses I just mentioned, but you know, an ascending offense is getting some good playing time going to this guy. Like that's the way to go. So when we're looking for breakout tight ends next year, that's obviously the Dawson Knox mold is a really good way to look at it.
I will raise my hand and say I was one of the idiots drafting Blake Jarwin saying, oh, he's healthy, he's gonna get the job back. So that was me. That's who Matt's talking about. Now the good thing is I like to double
dip. You didn't draft Tyler Higbee.
Well, you know, well, the funny thing was, Matt, I didn't believe it wholeheartedly, so I kept handcuffing Dalton Schultz and those same things. And then, like, after 2 weeks, like, well, I don't have to worry about Blake Jarwin anymore. The heck with him. I'm dropping him now.
Yeah.
But I kind of like taking 2 or 3 shots at tight end. And people say, well, why do you want to waste the draft capital? I don't know. I kind of look at it saying, but if I get one of them right, that's a win. And then by 3 or 4, those other guys are toast. They're on the waiver wire. I drop them and I'm adding other guys. I mean, we're not keeping the exact same roster we start drafting with. So I'd rather take a couple shots at tight end. I think that's my approach. Let's talk about age and talk about Travis Kelce too. He's been great. This is not quite as great of a season as we're used to. Maybe with Travis Kelce, maybe we're spoiled a little bit. Pat, are you starting to worry a little bit about the age of Travis Kelce? Is this the time to start discounting him just a little bit? Maybe moving him from that end of the first, beginning of the second, maybe towards the middle to late second, early third instead?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to go down that far, Joe. Like, I'm not too worried just because we haven't seen any signs of it. It's just not showing up on the field as far as a potential dip going over that age cliff. Like, until we see like the faintest signs of it, I'm going to keep investing. Although I'm kind of not. Like, I'm not the guy who's going to take Kelce at the end of the first round and never have been. I totally understand it. The people who like going robust tight end, I don't think it's a terrible strategy. It's just not me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not really up against this dilemma anyway. But I know he's not going to be my tight end one for 2022, though. So,
oh, who is? Let's, while we're there, tell us. Who's your number one tight end going into the year so far in your ranks?
I mean, for me, it's going to be Mark Andrews. And I think we're getting him at the sweet spot in his career where I think he's going to be, what, 26 next year. It just like turned it up, took it up another notch this year and did it with 3 different quarterbacks. I mean, he did it with Tyler Huntley. He had an 8-catch, 125-yard, 1-touchdown game with Josh Johnson. You know, when you put up those numbers with the third stringer, like, I mean, he as little as he played with Lamar this year, like to continue to just keep pumping out numbers with backups. Really impressive. And I think maybe that was kind of part of the reason why Bateman's progress got slowed a little bit towards the end. It was like, why are we throwing to anyone but Mark Andrews? This guy is just going berserk every week.
All right. When you're looking at the number one tight end, Matt, do you agree? Is it Mark Andrews for you as well? Or are you sprinkling in maybe the upside of a Kyle Pitts or somebody like that?
Yeah, I think the conversation has to be between Kelce and Andrews. And I will say the one area that I think we've seen Kelce kind of naturally take a little bit of a step back is like when somebody decides to just like man up against Travis Kelce, like cover him as a pure wide receiver. But like he is still elite of elite when when he's like ripping through zone coverage, you know, that type of stuff. And I mean, they're going to get plenty of those looks, especially as teams play the 2 high safeties against the Chiefs and everything like that. There'll be plenty of advantageous looks for Travis Kelce. So, I mean, I think it's a conversation between Andrews and Kelce, but I agree. Like the career arc part of it with Mark Andrews is really, it's in that sweet spot. Like Pat mentioned.
All right, let's talk about the rookies this year, because rookie tight ends are never a thing, but Pat Freiermuth was for a few weeks, and Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards receiving. So let's kind of shatter the mold a little bit. Sure, they can be useful. Maybe we shouldn't overrate them. But Matt, what you saw out of those two guys this year, is this the beginning of 2 special tight end careers? Or are you concerned, too, because you're getting the downside of Matt Ryan and potentially also a change of quarterback at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, the change of quarterback in Pittsburgh certainly is going to like leave a huge question mark to everybody, except maybe Deontay Johnson, who I think is like a fantastic wide receiver and, you know, just like a very underrated guy. But, you know, Pat Freiermuth, Chase Claypool, like who I think has to wear some of the disappointment from his season. Like these guys are all going to need to be, you know, put with huge question marks. But with Kyle Pitts, man, like, I think he is a special player, and I think he just obviously had a couple bad. Like, he has everything but the touchdowns, and obviously that's going to be the question next year. Does Atlanta start over a quarterback? Like, does Matt Ryan get into some of these quarterback trade discussions? That is going to be on the table, but I will be ready and willing to draft Kyle Pitts next year, that is for sure.
Me too, man. I'm in the Kyle Pitts. Like, I was in on it this year. Pat knows very well. And man, just, you know, what PFF expected him for, what, 6 touchdowns or so? That was the data, said he probably should have had somewhere between 5.5 and 6 touchdowns. Yeah, those touchdowns in, my goodness, it looks like a really good year for Kyle Pitts, but because you get the one, doesn't quite look as good, but yeah. Certainly a phenomenal talent.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's close things out with a lightning round of listener mailbag, and I want to start with our good friend of the show, Hawaii Kino from Hawaii Life on Twitter. What's your top 10 dynasty wide receiver in 2022, and which rookie wide receiver do you see coming out of the draft that makes an impact right away? Pat, I want to start with you. I know you're a big college football guy. I mean, Jameson Williams was that guy for me, but I mean, there's certainly, obviously with the injury now, some question there. How quick can he come back? You got Chris Olave, you got Treylon Burks, you got a couple guys in there who were pretty intriguing. Anybody for you is going to crack like that top 25 wide receiver ranking from the college ranks?
Boy, Burks is the one I think who intrigued me. We had such an interesting class this past year with the small receivers. We had a great year for small receivers in the class of 2021. And, you know, Treylon Burks, we're getting this guy who's just, you know,
6'3", 230 boy.
Yeah, the classic alpha guy. I mean, yeah. This guy is just built like an Adonis and, you know, the kind of guy who's just so tough to tackle in the open field. So I'm excited about him. And like, he's not going to go that high, but a guy I really like in this class is Jahan Dotson, who is kind of a smaller guy. He's like 5'11", 185 or something like that. But man, this guy is just like a good route runner. And man, does he have deep speed. And he doesn't like fly paper hands. Like, he's got the Odell Beckham hands. Like, if you're getting it in his neighborhood, he's going to come down with it. So those are two I really like.
All right, here's one specifically for Matt. Stick Stomper wants to know on Twitter, ask Matt, who had a down year in production wise but was still good on paper, quote unquote, that you expect to bounce back for next fantasy season? So who was good on paper but maybe not so much in reality that you think, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go down this road again in 2022? Anybody kind of fit that bill for you, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Terry McLaurin, who we've talked about a couple times on the show. You know, it's not just because of the quarterback. Like, basically everything went wrong for Washington this year. I mean, I think we kind of like all just accepted Taylor Heinicke as the starter, which is fine. But like, this was not supposed to be the plan, obviously. And that happened from like the word go for Washington was with Ryan Fitzpatrick's injury. But also, like, Curtis Samuel got hurt. Logan Thomas got hurt. Antonio Gibson played as a shell of himself for, you know, a long time. And obviously they were thrown off game scripts consistently. Like, it was basically Terry McLaurin and the preseason boys for a ton of this this season for Washington. He was not only just like playing with a sub starting quarterback level play for most of the year, he was also just the easiest wide receiver to scheme around because there was no one else you needed to respect it in this offense.
All right, good answer there on this one. Last one from Joe Simonetti at TNFF_auctionJoe. CeeDee Lamb, overvalued or ready to ascend to wide receiver one status? Lots of moving parts in the Dallas wide receiving core with Gallup, a free agent, and likely gone but could come back, and potential buyout of Amari Cooper. So, Matt, I'm going to start with you, and we'll go to Pat on this one. CeeDee Lamb was one of my favorite dudes going into the season. Him and T. Higgins, those are my two guys that I thought were ready to make that jump. You saw the flashes of CeeDee Lamb. But again, between injuries, inconsistencies, it didn't all come to fruition. Do we just have to be patient one more year? Or is this a maybe it's not as good as we think it's going to be situation?
Yeah, I think I'd be patient one more year. Absolutely. I think he's got number one wide receiver talent. I think he's absolutely a really, really fantastic player. Already he's been a really great player in the NFL so far. But a couple of things need to happen. Number one, and I think this could happen, right? Like, Cooper could be gone this offseason. He could be a trade candidate for them. They can get out of his contract this year. And Jerry Jones already expressed some frustration with him or, you know, how they were using him. Or who knows? But it was some sort of like
he's frustration. He's just frustrated.
Yeah. He's just Aaron. He's Aaron has grievances with everybody except Ezekiel Elliott. They'll never, that's like the one subject at the dinner table nobody talks about. The family doesn't talk about that one. But like, I think that, you know, Cooper could be gone. Gallup, obviously, whether he leaves as a free agent or comes back and like is on the PUP list or something like that, coming off an ACL injury or just not even at 100% to start the year. Certainly that could be the case. And then CeeDee Lamb is in a potential alpha receiver role because, you know, it's just a lot of guys to get the ball to, especially when, you know, they're not like the 2020 Cowboys when their defense sucked and like they're just throwing the ball all around the yard.
Right.
Like, they were a good team this year, which is mostly good for our players. But then when we've got, you know, CeeDee Lamb did not benefit from chaos because of all of these other guys around him in that way, as we said to start the show. But those potential changes. And the other thing, though, and this is on the Cowboys and like trusting the Cowboys to be smart from a coaching angle, not something I feel great about right now, but like they've got to settle on a role for this guy. Like they can't just be like, all right, you know, Gallup's hurt. Like we'll just move CeeDee Lamb outside, or like we'll put Cedric Wilson in the slot. Like they need to figure out, what do they want to do with CeeDee Lamb? Do they want to use him like Cooper Kupp? Because that's kind of how they used him as a rookie. Then they decided they wanted to use him as an X receiver in the offseason, but then they kind of changed their mind on that. Like, it should be like, what is CeeDee Lamb for us? Let's figure that out and go from there and not keep changing it around based on like who else is injured, because he should be your priority.
Hear, hear. I love it. Pat Fitzmaurice, anything to add on the CeeDee Lamb discussion?
Yeah, well said. I mean, I generally fade the too many mouths to feed arguments a little bit and just kind of prefer to play for talent. And like, I think Lamb is just mega talented. And, you know, like Matt said, I mean, he makes a great point about just settle on a role with this guy. And like, I'm not worried about him getting his, even if Cedric Wilson turns out to be like, you know, as good as Michael Gallup. But, you know, it was frustrating that, you know, he just
also a free agent. Cedric Wilson is, yeah, is
another
is,
free agent.
You're right. That's right.
That is, too, so, I mean, who knows what that receiver core looks like.
Right. Right. And, you know, like after Gallup got hurt, I thought maybe it was going to be Lamb's time to shine late in the season. And then like, Amari did a squeaky wheel thing where he's like, oh, I really think I could be doing more to help the offense. And then all of a sudden, Amari was getting like twice as many targets as CD down the stretch. So I'm still bullish, but it seems like there really hasn't been any drop in expectations for him. I think people are still regarding Lamb as a wide receiver one. So I don't know if we're going to get a discount on him. But overall, yeah, I think the needle is still pointing up, and I'm, you know, not walking away from this guy.
I could talk to you guys all day. And Matt, I appreciate you giving us your time today. Of course, you can follow Matt over on the Twitter machine at @MattHarmon_BYB and check out all of his work at Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Fantasy. Again, Matt, all day we could spend and talk about this, but I know billing your insurance, I'm only allowed to do it once a day. Yeah. So I'm going to have to invite you back another time. But again, thank you so much for dropping all the knowledge, having this discussion. And we appreciate you being here, my friend.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah. You know, regardless of what Blue Cross has to say about this, I'm happy to talk to you guys. So whenever you guys need me, appreciate you so much for having me on. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a good time in the fantasy calendar to sort of unpack these thoughts.
Yes. Unpack. I told you, therapeutic, man. We sit here in January, look back at the good, the bad, the ugly, and start to recalibrate our brains. And that's what these shows are going to be about here in the month of January. So continue to enjoy all your football, everybody out there, because it is still a lot of great quality football being played. Also want to remind you, go to fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, and you can get that Jalen Waddle autographed jersey. It can be yours once you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, and then go ahead and enter the contest at fantasypros.com/contest. And if you can't get enough football talk, and I know you can't, make sure you're listening to Kyle Yates and the Dynasty Football Podcast right here on Fantasy Pros as well, wherever you get your podcasts. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com today. Start bidding using that promo code FantasyPros to get a $5 credit on us. And also, don't forget, there's plenty of football left over at DraftKings. Download the app right now and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team for just a $5 bet. And you win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Again, that promo code is FantasyPros. 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Matt Harmon and Pat Fitzmaurice, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.